Thank you for joining us this morning, whether it's here in the sanctuary or online. As you all know, we're in a series called Breaking Bondages, and we're going to be coming to an end of that series very, very soon. Really, we're approaching it maybe next week. I'm going to try to wrap it up. But this week, we're in part 12, okay? And the title of today's message, I decided to leave the same even after last Sunday, is just Dare to Decide, all right? Dare to Decide. So please stand with me and we'll join together and say our Bible declaration. Am I loud enough? Because am I? Okay. All right. So take your Bible in your hand and just raise it up towards heaven and repeat this with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You can be seated. And while you are seated, why don't we turn to Galatians 5:22. We'll read verses 22 through 25. It is the portion of text that we're using for this portion of the series that we're in. So Galatians 5:22. All right. Verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." I think I'll have Serena, could you come up and pray right away for this message?
Father, I'm so thankful that we have this opportunity and this privilege and honor to gather together in your name. Father, that we are here under one umbrella, and that umbrella is Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that. I ask that your Holy Spirit would minister to each one of us, God, the word, and how we need to apply it to our lives, how we need to allow you, Holy Spirit, to change our lives through this. May we hear your voice clearly today, Father, and not follow another voice, but just the voice of your word. Mm-hmm. I thank you for the anointing that is on God. This word that will break the yokes of bondage that hold us resistant and captive to doing the bidding of this word. Father, open the eyes of our understanding and give us revelation knowledge as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Serena. In this series called Breaking Bondages, we've already talked about agape love and joy as being two of the things which God has given to you and I to combat the plans of the enemy. How many of you are glad this morning that God gives us tools, amen? Tools to fight against the enemy. And we've seen that if we can love each other with the agape love of God that he loves his people with, that is, if we can love people unconditionally, and if we can love them with no strings attached, we can counter most attacks of the enemy. And if we can maintain our joy in the midst of the attacks and the battles, then we can maintain our strength and avoid even more strongholds of the enemy and thereby crush his plans, okay? But love and joy aren't the only things that God has given us to fight against the strongholds of the enemy. In addition to love and joy, Paul proclaimed that peace would also be produced in us when we make the decision to walk in the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but in going through this series, I thought a lot about it. Do I really walk in the Spirit or do I walk in the flesh? And you know, I find at times I walk in the flesh. And I know that I want to work harder, if you will, at walking in the Spirit 100% of the time. Because we can avoid the snares of the enemy by doing that. Amen? First, let me give you the definition of peace from our English dictionary. Peace is the non-warring condition of a nation or a group of nations or the world. Peace is also a state of mutual harmony between people or groups, especially in personal relationships. However, the biblical definition of peace is much different and really is much better for us. Peace is a divine inner stability and calmness of the soul that is impervious or not affected at all by external forces. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? And much like joy, the world cannot take away your peace. And the truth is that you and I fight a very real foe. We do. We really do. But no matter what, and I want to make sure as we go through this series that you know this, the foe can't be your focus. Amen? The enemy can't be what you look at all the time. You have to be ready, you have to be armed, and when you're armed with the weapons of God, you're dangerous. All right? But the truth is, you don't want to be constantly thinking about the enemy. We can't let the foe, our foe, be our focus. All right, now that you've got that, why don't we turn to Philippians? I want to read a very familiar portion of Scripture there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 through 7. Very familiar portion of Scripture, gets quoted a lot, misquoted a lot too. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the what? The peace of God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's something about the supernatural peace of God that, like the Bible says in these verses, it has the ability to just surpass all understanding. In fact, the language of the passage where it says this, where it says that we will have peace, it says that peace will actually mount up like a garrison around our heart and around our mind, if you will, to protect it and to overcome the strongholds that may come against it. Are you with me? I mean, that's awesome stuff. That's good stuff. Paul listed that same supernatural peace that we just read about in Philippians when he wrote about the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, and then he said the word peace. How many of you want peace this morning? You know, how many of you know that if you don't have peace, you really don't have a whole lot? Amen? All of us want to have that peace, and what's so awesome about God, when you get the God type of peace, you've got a peace that passes all understanding. But anyway, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. That word peace that Paul uses here comes from the Greek word eirene. Say eirene. Eirene. Which is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word shalom, which I'm sure you have all heard of. Shalom is a word that is used to express the idea of wholeness or completeness. Shalom is said to be tranquility within the soul, an inner peace, if you will, that is completely unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. And I hope you get kind of the drift here of the things that God gives us. They just can't be affected by outward things because you have, like we're going to talk about, you have an inward peace. And I don't know about you, but I would do anything to promote that kind of peace in my life, the kind that isn't affected by outward circumstances. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine what it'd be like that no matter what you are going through, no matter what the outcome is, no matter what people say about you, no matter what the checkbook says at the end of the bills, you have peace. Why do you have peace? I just have peace. I just have peace. And that's the kind of peace that we have because of the Holy Spirit. And again, I am so glad that we aren't in a church that relegates the Holy Spirit as some old thing that you don't mess with anymore. Thank God the Holy Spirit is alive and well in Central Family Worship Center today. It doesn't matter if we fill the pews. It doesn't matter if there's only a few. Because you know what? When God's here, we have a majority. When the Holy Spirit is here, it's worth being here. Okay. But that's the kind of peace that we get because of the Holy Spirit. The problem is that peace gets interrupted when we let our focus be continually on our foe. It does. When we look for a devil, when we look for a foe behind every bush, our focus is flawed. It just is. Because when we focus on the negative, we gravitate towards the negative. Amen? And our focus should be on our freedom and on the one who set us free. Can you imagine what it would be like if your focus every day was God? Every day you're thinking about how to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine how different your life would be if that was what was the most important thing to you? Amen? Our focus needs to be on Jesus. Again, the word eirene, that's translated peace, in this passage strongly suggests a rule of order in a place that's full of chaos. I want you to know that chaos and fear walk hand in hand, but neither one of them can survive when a person is dominated by the eirene or the peace of God, okay? Why? Because when we are walking in the Spirit, see, he knew. He knew as he knew as he knew. He knew we would fight and struggle against this. And he's given us so many things to fight against what the enemy does to us. But because when we are walking in the Spirit, that supernatural peace that God alone can give or that comes from a relationship with Jesus, and I want you to know, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you can come to this church every single day, every Sunday morning, in fact. You don't have anything. You don't have anything. But our relationship with him and the fact that the Holy Spirit has come to live on the inside of us produces a calm that's completely incomprehensible and totally unexplainable. In the midst of strongholds and you know, those kind of attacks, we have this kind of inner stability, if you will, that results from an ability to conduct ourselves peacefully. Listen, even in the midst of life circumstances, what that would normally be for the average person very nerve-wracking, very traumatic, if you will, and very upsetting, God has made it possible for you and I to apply a peace that others can't understand. And, you know, it's kind of woo right now because I'm telling you about something that we can't really understand, but let me explain this just a little bit. Again, the Hebrew counterpart, which is the word shalom, shows us this dominating peace, this God's peace, ultimately gives rise, now hear this please, to prosperity in one's soul. That's the implication. Now, I don't know about you. Okay, I don't know about you, but I want that dominating peace that's being talked about here in the Bible. And I know if God is talking about it here, it's still today, and that was yesterday, but it doesn't matter because what was yesterday applies to today, amen? Because we're serving the same God, amen? I could get excited today, I guess. I don't know. So rather than allowing the difficulties and pressures of your life to break you, because they can, and you know they can break you. Why not let this principle, this dominating soul peace, be awakened inside of you? And please hear me now, because this is truth. The person who's possessed by the peace of God is whole, he's complete, they are stable, and they're actually, like we just said, poised for a blessing. Now, I don't know anybody that wouldn't want to be poised for a blessing. Amen? The New Testament is filled with examples of this kind of supernatural peace that's produced only by the Holy Spirit living in us and through us. one very good example, if you will, of this unexplainable supernatural peace is found in Acts chapter 27. And I'm sure you know the story, but here it is. It was when the Apostle Paul found himself in a ship that was being tossed back and forth by the ravaging waves of the raging sea. And it said this in Acts 27, 14, and 15. I'm going to read you out of King James here. But long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Notice that verse 14 says there arose against it, it being the ship Paul was in, a tempestuous wind. The word against that's used here is the word balo, okay, B-A-L-L-O. And it means to throw or to dash and to hurt or to rush. And what Luke is trying to tell us by using this word is that there's a massive and terrible force, this massive and terrible force of wind had it literally come against them. And he goes on to say that it's a tempestuous wind, which in the language of the day pictures a storm which there is no escape from. I mean, like, they're going to die, okay? And I want to pause here, just take a minute to bring some of this into today, because I don't think too many of us can really identify with being in a ship and running into a typhoon. No, not really. But have you ever faced a storm in your life? You know, a storm that was so tempestuous, if you will, so difficult, so hard, so completely devastating that you didn't think that there was any way that you were going to escape from it? Come on, people. You mean you have never run into that in your life where it just seems so bad there doesn't seem to be any way out of it? Maybe you have dug yourself a hole so deep there's no climbing out anymore. And I'm not talking about a storm produced by the weather here. I'm talking about a storm that was produced because of trouble in your life or in your relationships or in your marriage that seems and feels like you're being blown to oblivion. You're just done. Not only that, there just seems to be no way out of it. No way out of the dilemma or the argument or the storm, if you will, that you find yourself in. That's the kind of storm that they're talking about here in this verse. That's the kind of storm where you've hit a dead end. Man, and I don't know. Maybe I'm 68. At 68, I've hit some dead ends. Maybe at your ages, you haven't. But it's not good when you hit a dead end, when you have no more to give, when you get to a place where there's just no way out of where you've dug yourself into. But that's the storm that's being talked about here. And I want to just say this. You got to know the kind of storm I'm talking about. It's the kind of storm where, you know, all you do is think about it. You try to think about something different, but you know what? It's there when you go to bed. It's there when you get up. It's there when you go to work. And everywhere you go, all you can do is think about the storm. Verse 14 says the storm even had a name, and it was called Euroclydon. That's a term that professional sailors used to describe the deadly northeastern winter storms that blew across the Mediterranean Sea. In fact, the particular storm was known to cause all kinds of shipwrecks. That couldn't have been too encouraging, and the loss of many lives every year. This storm became so fierce that verse 15 says this, the ship was caught, okay? The ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind. The word caught in verse 15 lets us know that the sailors had completely lost control of the ship. The storm had taken over, okay? And I don't know if you ever had that happen in your life. It's like you lose control and the storm just takes over, man. Every thought, every action, everything in your life is whatever it is that you're going through. And the winds, they were so violent that they could no longer fight them. Okay, the situation was, to the sailors anyway, is absolutely hopeless. And again, I guess I'm thinking about this, you know, applying to today. What about you? What about you? Have you ever felt hopeless in the midst of your storm? It's terrible to feel hopeless. Terrible. Again, I'm not talking about a storm on the seas. I'm talking about more those seemingly impossible storms of life. Sometimes a storm is, one of the storms we have is coming up with enough money at the when it's house payment time. Our storm might be we can't seem to get along with our spouse. Okay, all right, you just can't get along with your in-laws. You just can't. A storm is a storm, and it disables you. And if the storm is big enough, that makes you have no hope. You know, I don't know about you. You're quiet today. But I've gone through storms that are so difficult to deal with. So difficult to deal with. Serena and I have gone through storms that are so difficult, so life-threatening. And even so life-threatening to our marriage. And we felt like giving up. And there didn't seem to be any hope. That's when Jesus stepped in. The kind of storm, and I want you to get this in your head and apply this to your life. The kind of storm that when it is finished, when all the wind and damage were done, your life is just never going to be the same. How many of you people know here today that there are things that we can do in our life that where we can get forgiveness for and we can give forgiveness for, but you know what? Our lives will never be the same. Never be the same. That's this kind of storm. And I believe many times in our lives we feel caught like the ship was in verse 15. And we've lost control and we have lost direction and the situation looks hopeless. And you know what? You're even a Christian, right? You know, some people have no hope. We do have hope, but there's times when situations look hopeless. And I think the only thing that we can think about when we think about our situation being so dire or so bad is but God. And everything in our life is not so good, but God, amen? But God, praise God for the but gods in our life. With what God places on the inside of you, it makes the survival of the storms possible. You see, and I don't think this is really coming across the way I really wanted it to come across. But the Reine of God, or the unexplainable peace of God that can guard your life or set up a garrison around your life, it floods into your life or into your storms when you realize it and when you grab it and when you walk with it. In other words, when you walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the flesh 6 days a week, walk in the Spirit one day when you go to church, and expect to have the peace. Can you? I think what God wants to get across to us is we can have that peace. In fact, that peace is living in us. We just have to release Him to use it through us. Are you with me? Only God's peace can get us through those storms. Only God's peace. And I know it's quiet, and I know that you're listening, and I know that peace has been preached about a lot from this pulpit. But I think that's because I think that peace is so important. Without peace, nothing else seems good. If you don't have peace of mind, you can't settle down. If you don't have peace of mind, you can't sleep. If you don't have peace of mind, and His peace comes rushing in to still your storm, no matter how uncontrollable it is for you. One scholar made this comment concerning the storm that we just talked about. He said that it must have felt as if a monster had seized the ship and was tearing it to pieces. It was such a serious situation that verse 20 tells us how the sailors felt. But watch how God comes through. Now when neither sun or stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But right in the midst of the hopelessness, verse 22 says this, Paul stood up and he said, "And now I urge you, take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God of whom I belong and of whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid." You see, Paul had heard from God. And would to God we were always in a place where we could hear from God. Because when we need things, it's so good to be able to go to God who knows all things. Amen? And I have found that when I'm in a closer relationship with him, well, Pastor Wes, Jesus died for you, and that's all you need. Yeah, that is all I need, but you don't understand. I want to be close to him, and I want to hear his voice, and I want to be able to be sure that it's his voice I hear and not another, because there is another one's voice that sounds an awful lot like his voice. And unless you know his voice well enough, you will be fooled by the other voice. All right. Paul had heard from God, okay? He'd heard from God, which caused the supernatural peace of God to grab a hold of him, and it flowed out from him to others on the ship. It's that kind of peace that comes when we let God's peace reign in our lives, and when the foe isn't our focus, but the promises are our priority. It's the kind of peace that not only is alive and on the inside of you, but it's the kind of peace that flows out to people around you and gives them hope as well. Now think back on the meaning of the word eirene, peace, in light of Paul's experience on the ship. Remember, this word expresses the idea of wholeness and completeness or tranquility in the soul that is unaffected by outward circumstances or pressures. And it strongly suggests rule of order in a place of chaos. It has the power to keep you calm, stable, and peaceful, even though you are facing circumstances and storms in your own life that would normally push you over the edge. And I want you to know this morning, that is exactly where the enemy wants you, is over the edge. Because when you're over the edge, he can bring in stuff that sounds really good. That stuff called deception has a little bit of truth mixed in with it. It's a whole bunch of lie, okay? And he can... You know, through that, he can begin to build strongholds in your life. But the peace has the power to keep you calm and stable and peaceful. Even though you are facing circumstances and storms in your life that would normally push you over the edge. Storms in relationships and storms in your marriage and storms, you know, in any part of your life. No matter what kind of storm that you're going through, and if I'm right, there's quite a few of us sitting here today that are going through a storm. Whether you're going through a storm with your relatives, whether you're going through a storm with your finances, I don't care what kind of storm. You're going through a storm. And the truth is, available to you right now through walking in the Spirit is this thing called peace, unexplainable, supernatural peace that will calm any storm in your life. So let me ask you a question right now. Wouldn't you like to have that peace that passes all understanding to chase the storms out of your life today? Because it will. It truly will. And so if that's something that you want today, just bow your head, okay? And take a few minutes to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to awaken that supernatural peace that's on the inside of you. In fact, I think that's how we're going to end the service today with communion, by praying and asking the Holy Spirit to awaken this supernatural peace in you. Because, I say it, I believe every week I'm preaching in this series, is we received that Holy Spirit when we were saved. we receive that, that love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, you know, all of those. So why don't we all stand together? No, stay seated. Well, that was fun, wasn't it? That was fun. Why don't you hand up communion right now, okay? I really don't know what storm you're going through today. I only know that through the Spirit that someone is going through something today. And the truth of the matter is, you're going to get through the storm that's blowing against you. You're going to get through it. Whatever it is, you're going to get through it, all right? Because the peace of God is an all-encompassing and all-surpassing kind of peace, more than you will ever encounter. Gentlemen, why don't you come, please?